talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yes, indeed. It is The Big Show on your Thursday afternoon. Welcome in. Josh Humphries with you. We are getting closer and closer to the long weekend. Thank you so much for joining the program today. We've got another jam-packed show coming up for you right here in the 1 o'clock hour. Very excited. We're going to have Ron Rook join us on the program today. He's a former executive and short-time president of the Calgary Stampeders organization. He's going to come in and talk about Labor Day memories. He's been with the organization since 1991. Going to come in and talk about some of the great memories that they have, some of the traditions that started in Labor Day. The black jerseys, how did that whole story come about? When did they debut? The story behind that. Jeff Garcia's debut. Much, much more. Ron Rook going to come in studio and join us. Very excited to have that conversation coming up around 1:25 this afternoon. Also coming up at 1:45 in what is going to be a very CFL and football heavy hour number one on the big show. Rod Peterson, the voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Rider fans rejoice. Weston Dressler has chosen the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He turns down offers from multiple teams, including reports from right here in Calgary. The Stampeders were in on him. The Ottawa Redblacks apparently made a huge bid towards Weston Dressler. The most money, apparently, from most teams, according to reports, that was given to Weston Dressler. He turns them all down to head back home to Saskatchewan. We'll talk to Rod Peterson about what that means for the Riders and also what it means for that team moving forward. You got to consider Saskatchewan as just in the same boat as the Calgary Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos are in. Both those teams 7-1. The Riders 6-2, five consecutive wins. Look forward to that conversation with him as well. We'll continue to delve into the Labor Day Classic. Wanted to do this yesterday, but we were at Mugshot Sports and Grill, Bar and Grill. Big thanks out to them for having Rob Kerr and myself in there all afternoon yesterday. It was a great time. We ate a lot of wings. I'm still kind of comatose from the amount of wings they fed us yesterday. So big shout out to Mugshot Sports Bar and Grill. Thank you for having us yesterday. We're back in our downtown studios today. And what I want to do today is kind of compare. This is the Calgary Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos. When you look at the positions, the stats, who's got the edge offensively? Who's got the edge on the defensive side of the ball? Some of the big names that are going to be big players coming up in this game. There's a lot of them on both sides that could be impact players coming up on the Labor Day Classic on Monday. So we're going to delve into that just a little bit as well. Also, we'll check in with what's going on with the Toronto Blue Jays as they have themselves a day off. Josh Gordon rumors going around as well of coming to the CFL with the Calgary Stampeders. It was kind of came about last night a little bit that the Stampeders have added Josh Gordon to their NAG list, their negotiation list. However, it appears that that is a bit of a pipe dream as Josh Gordon probably won't likely be coming to the CFL this year. As a matter of fact, Cleveland Browns really confirming that there's no chance that Josh Gordon would be heading north to north of the border to play in the Canadian Football League this year. Of course, yesterday, Josh Gordon's appeal for his suspension appeal was upheld. He will sit out the entire season for the Cleveland Browns for a marijuana use violation. And again, a lot of people very upset that Josh Gordon gets a year suspension for using marijuana. Some other serious things like, domestic dispute and abuse and things like that will only get you a couple of games, and use of marijuana will get you an entire season, things like that. But Josh Gordon does have a history. This isn't a first-time offender there as well. So different opinions coming on that. Want to hear from you on the text line, 960-960. Does the NFL have this right? Are they going about things the right way with some of their discipline, or is it something that needs to be re-looked at and kind of the rule book and maybe the disciplinary actions for some things need to be rewrote? We'll definitely look into that throughout the afternoon as well. Rob Kerr going to jump into the program. Sheldon Kennedy is going to join us in studio coming up this afternoon around 4:30. I know we were efforting to get Sven Berchi on the program today as well. So we have a jam-packed show for you. It is your Thursday. Tomorrow we'll be live at the Shaw Charity Classic, so it'll be a golf-heavy show. Football Fridays will also come on to get us set before the long weekend, as it is the Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos. But I did want to take a look at some of the comparisons and some of the numbers between the Calgary Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos heading into this game coming up on Monday afternoon at McMahon Stadium. And starting with the quarterbacks right now, Bo Levi Mitchell versus Mike Riley. And throughout the day, 960-960, I want to hear your thoughts on who has the edge at these positions, the quarterbacks, defensively, special teams, running backs. Which team would you give the edge to in this one? Well, let's start with Bo Levi Mitchell and the Calgary Stampeders. Hasn't really done a whole lot to flashy plays or really wow you with anything that he's done. He's
hasn't, you know, consistently hit the 300 mark this season. He's had a lot of games under 300 yards passing, hasn't had that huge offensive explosion with multiple touchdowns in games, but he is managing the game very, very well right now. And for Bo Levi Mitchell, I think that's the key for the Calgary Stampeders. Again, going into this game, you're taking on a very tough defense. You're going to have to manage those, you know, manage the game very well. And for Bo Levi Mitchell, a 62% completion rate, just under 2,000 yards passing so far this season, 12 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. That's the one key thing for Bo Levi Mitchell where you could say the Calgary Stampeders might have the advantage at the quarterback situation, because he has one more touchdown than Mike Riley, who has 11, and he has 2 less interceptions, as Mike Riley has 6. And you look at Mike Riley's numbers to go along with the 11 touchdowns and the 6 interceptions. Completion percentage, he beats Bo Levi Mitchell. He has completed 66% of his passes as compared to just the 62 by Bo Levi Mitchell. 1,600 yards, just over 1,600 yards, is what Mike Riley has so far this season. Quarterback rating, Bo Levi Mitchell, 98, tops in the CFL. Mike Riley, a 91 quarterback rating for the Edmonton Eskimos. So quarterback situation is going to be very close, but in terms of that, I would have to give the edge to Bo Levi Mitchell, and that's just because the low amount of interceptions and the way he has managed the game. But that is going to be a key battle for those two guys. That's where it really starts and finishes for me when you look at the Labor Day Classic, Mike Riley versus Bo Levi Mitchell. On the receiving core for both of these teams, now this is where it gets interesting. The Stampeders have a variety of weapons to use. They'll get Mo Price back in the lineup, which gives them a huge boost. Marque McDaniel, who leads the Stampeders with 437 receiving yards. Jeff Fuller, not in the lineup. That's a big loss for the Stampeders. We also will have Joe West, Anthony Parker, Brad Sinopoli to go along with Mo Price in this game as well. Looking at the Edmonton Eskimos and what they bring to the table, Andreas Bowman right now is their leading receiver with 619 yards, 5 touchdowns. He is going to be a deep threat weapon. He's going to be difficult for the Stampeders secondary to catch. But then you go down from there, not a whole lot of production after that. A.J. Guyton next with just 254 yards and a couple touchdowns. Sean Chambers is in there. Nate Kuhorn, who we had on the show yesterday, also chipping in on the receiving core. Fred Stamps, going to be in this game or not, that's still up in the air. No official word on what's going to happen with him coming into the game. So you look at the receiving core, the Edmonton Eskimos are a little bit more banged up. Yes, the Stamps will be without Jeff Fuller, but they get Mo Price back. Joe West expected to play in this game as well. Receiving core, I probably have to give the edge to the Calgary Stampeders in this one. Although the Stampeders don't have a flashy, huge receiver like Andreas Bowman with over 619 yards receiving, they have a lot of guys that are just consistent. Joe West had a huge game. He's coming into his own. You're getting Mo Price back, who's going to be a deep threat to you. Nick Lewis is getting back into the game as well. Marque McDaniel, always going to be a threat for the Stampeders as well when you look at those numbers. On to the running back situation. Kind of, maybe a no-brainer here, maybe not. John Cornish will just play in his third game this season, his second since returning after a week one injury. He went back against the Ottawa Redblacks, looked really good in that game. But did John Cornish, now that he's going against a really strong defense like the Edmonton Eskimos, is he ready to handle a defensive team like the Edmonton Eskimos as compared to what he handled against the Ottawa Redblacks? It'll be a huge test for him. I know the test against the Ottawa was good. He passed that test. He looked really good in that game. But was it enough for John Cornish to get ready for that one game showdown against Ottawa? Was that enough for him to get ready to take on the Edmonton Eskimos? That'll be interesting to find out. Cornish does have 141 yards, which, considering the guy played in week one, then missed, you know, the majority of the rest of the season, got back into the lineup last week against the Ottawa Redblacks. John Cornish still leads the Stampeders with 141 rushing yards this year, but that's been because of injuries. Matt Walter goes down. Of course, Hugh Charles came in there. He got a game under his belt. He's still on the Stampeders roster. Martel Mallett also on the Calgary Stampeders roster as well, with the team as well. But what I really like about the rushing game between both these teams, Bo Levi Mitchell not afraid to use the ground a little bit as well. Not as much, though, as Mike Riley has for the Edmonton Eskimos. He's already racked up 320 yards on the ground for the Edmonton Eskimos this season. For the Stampeders defense, they're going to have to try to contain Mike Riley all afternoon on Monday, because he's a guy that if nothing's working downfield, and even if the running back situation, if he's left with an empty backfield, he has the ability to take off and use his legs. He's done it all season long. So the Stampeders defense containment might be a big part of the game when you talk about what's going to happen coming on Monday. As for the defensive side of the ball, both these teams' defense are very, very good. We all know how good the Calgary Stampeders are, what they've done so far this season on the defensive side of the ball. They're led by their secondary. Juwan Simpson is huge. Jamar Wall, Brendan Smith has been big for the Stampeders. Josh Bell, of course, we all know what Charleston Hughes can do for the Calgary Stampeders as well this season. You look at both of these teams, the Calgary Stampeders, a league low, just 121 points against. They have the stingiest defense by far in the CFL. The Edmonton Eskimos are second with 142 points allowed. So you've got the two best defenses going head-to-head this week. What does that mean? I know these teams have a lot of weapons offensively, but do we see a low-scoring game, or do we see perhaps a high-scoring game between these two teams, the Stampeders and the Eskimos? You look at the amount of tackles for guys on the Edmonton Eskimos side, Rennie Curran, Dexter McCoyle, Eddie Steele, Eric Samuels, they've all hit, you know, the 20-tackle mark with the Edmonton Eskimos so far this season, so they've got some bruising guys. Interception-wise, the Calgary Stampeders do have some guys that can pick off the ball, whether it's Jamar Wall, Keon Raymond, Fred Bennett, and Josh Bell, who've combined for the Stampeders for 9 interceptions this year. But in the secondary, you'd have to give the Edmonton Eskimos the advantage here, led by Dexter McCoyle with 4 interceptions this year, a couple of them taken back for a touchdown. Odell Willis, we all know what Odell Willis can do it on the defensive line. He can also pick off the ball, make some things happen. They've gotten a lot of contributions from them as well. Right now, they have 12 interceptions, which leads the CFL in that department. So the Edmonton Eskimos secondary are really going to have to make Bo Levi Mitchell work. And for a guy like Bo Levi Mitchell, who's throwing interceptions in each of the last 4 weeks, it's really, you're going to have to be aware of what's going on in that secondary. Maybe that can be negated a little bit. You get Mo Price back, who can exploit the deep ball a little bit. Joe West can exploit the deep ball. You're going to have your weapons like Marquay McDaniel and Nick Lewis, who can be those guys you can come underneath and use as well. Also with John Cornish back, it gives you a different look as well, where the Edmonton Eskimos are going to have to focus on the running game as well. As far as the sacks are concerned this season, we all know what Charleston Hughes can do for the Calgary Stampeders. He leads the way with 7 sacks, but there's a couple guys on the Edmonton Eskimos who have 7 sacks, Odell Willis and Armando Sewell. So the Calgary Stampeders offensive line is going to have their hands full as well with the Edmonton Eskimos on the defensive side, with the Edmonton Eskimos defense. It's going to be a great game, and I really wonder, we talked about throughout the week on the text line at 960-960, asking about some of your memories you've had from Labor Day games, but today, it's almost about that time where we start getting into predictions, and wins and losses is one thing, but what kind of game do you think we will see from the Calgary Stampeders, the Edmonton Eskimos? Do you see this game being an offensive shootout, high scoring, where both teams pile up some points and are able to exploit some things on the defenses? Or do you think this will be a game where it'll be a more of a defensive battle? This could be one of those very low scoring games where both teams hover around the 15 point mark and maybe catch 20 points. 20 points might win you this game. It's really going to be a good game. Can't wait for it. Both teams have a lot of weapons defensively. Both teams already have a lot of weapons on the offense as well. Lots to get to throughout this afternoon. As mentioned, Ron Rook going to join the program. That's going to come up in a couple of minutes' time. We're going to talk about the Labor Day game and some of the memories that he has being with the organization from 91 on to 2005. So he's got lots of stories from how things started. Really looking forward to that conversation. CFL news, though, coming out today. Weston Dressler with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. This goes back to them. And now there's a lot of talk that maybe he might head east or head to a different team or take whatever team offered him the most money, but not the case. Weston Dressler does sign with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. It makes sense from his point. He's got, you know, ties to that city, obviously, been there his CFL career, won a Grey Cup last year. Family, his wife, I do believe, still lives in Regina, still has some business interests in that city as well. So maybe does take a little bit less money. We're not sure exactly what happened in that whole situation. We'll have Rod Peterson on from Regina, the play-by-play voice of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. He'll give us all the details on the deal. He'll let us know if it ever was any doubt that he was going back to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. A lot of reports that there was other teams interested, which you know there was other teams interested in Weston Dressler's service, but what does it do for the Riders? Where does it put them? Right now, they sit 6-2. They're only, if you look at it, a game back, if you want to look in those terms, of both Calgary and Edmonton. One of those two teams you would expect, Calgary and Edmonton, to lose come Labor Day. So the Saskatchewan Roughriders, with a win over the Bombers in their game, would be tied for perhaps second place in the West Division. The way I see it, it's a three-team race in the West Division the second half of the season. You've got Calgary, you've got Edmonton, and you've got the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I don't think the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are for real. And especially if they have a rough couple of games here against the Riders, it's going to put them more than likely out of the race for the West Division title. And the BC Lions, you really don't know what you have with the BC Lions. 1 week, they look like world beaters. The next week, They look pretty bad. Even though last week I thought they had a decent game against the Riders, but that's a premier matchup at home that your president makes those guarantees, and you didn't come out on top in that game. So we'll talk about that throughout the afternoon as well. But according, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's a three-team battle. Calgary, Edmonton, and Saskatchewan for the West Division. It's going to be very, very, very good to see these three teams down the stretch. Calgary still has to play Saskatchewan twice. Those games coming up in October. Moving on to the Josh Gordon situation. Of course, the rumors came out yesterday that he was put on the Stampeders negotiation list. Those rumors were confirmed to be true. However, today, any thought of Josh Gordon maybe joining the Calgary Stampeders organization for the rest of this season have been squashed. Jason Lockenfora, he's our NFL insider. He knows a lot of things, and he, you know, knows pretty much the inside and outs of the NFL. He's the one who tweeted things out, and here's a couple of his tweets. Any suspended player who is still has a valid NFL contract cannot be signed by CFL teams. And then again, going on, since this Josh Gordon CFL thing won't go away, Lockenfora says he contacted CFL executives. The only way Gordon could sign with a CFL team is if the Cleveland Browns release him. So the Browns would have to release him. That wasn't going to happen. Cleveland's not going to release Josh Gordon because he's suspended for a year. They can still have him back next season. He's still a very vital asset for that organization that they're going to use. The Cleveland Browns coming out today also confirming they will not be releasing Josh Gordon. So any chance of Josh Gordon coming to the CFL, whether it's with the Stampeders or anybody, those squashed. He's not valid to do it. Well, he's suspended. And the Cleveland Browns, the only way he would be valid to do it is if Cleveland had released him. They're not doing that. So there's no chance at all for Josh Gordon to head north of the border and play in the CFL. Toronto Blue Jays did get a big win last night over the Boston Red Sox as a very, very needed win over the Boston Red Sox as they continue to try to get back into the race in the American League East in the wild card, keep their very slim playoff hopes alive.
The 2-0 pitch, drive deep left field, heading for the bullpen, up it goes, and there she goes. A three-run home run for Danny Valencia. His first as a Blue Jay.
Okay news for the Jays to get the win, but still quite a ways back. It's going to be very difficult to get back into that wild card race and into the race in the AL East. You're still 9 games back in the American League. As far as the wild card goes, you're 5.5 back. A lot of teams to leapfrog in front of you. Not likely going to happen for the Toronto Blue Jays this year. Jabari Arthur of the Calgary Stampeders was on the morning show with Boomer today. Wanted to play just a couple of clips of Jabari Arthur in that interview. First of all, talking about Labor Day and what that matchup means for the team and looking ahead to the game coming up on Monday.
Obviously, when you have an in-province rivalry, it's always going to be a good game. But now, just a little bit more, you know, we have a former coach over there, and they're doing absolutely great this year. And, you know, I mean, we're doing absolutely great this year. So it just, you know, creates a great storyline. And I think that this game on Monday is going to be, you know, battle of two heavyweights going at it. So it's going to be a great game.
Jabari Arthur also was asked by Boomer about the confidence of the Calgary Stampeders. They look like a very confident group week in, week out, but the worry that you're getting a little bit too overconfident definitely can creep into you, especially if you're not in that dressing room and from the outside looking in. But Jabari Arthur says the Calgary Stampeders coaching staff making very sure that they remain confident, but not overconfident.
Definitely tell you that we're a very confident bunch, but we also realize that, hey, we could always play better football. We could always improve. And, you know, it's great that we started off on such a good note, but I still think the best football that we've played is yet to come. And I think the whole locker room is on that vibe. You know, Coach Huffhouse is going well. You know, just play. Obviously, you know, winning games now is important, but you want to get better every single game, every single week, and carry that momentum all the way to November.
So the Calgary Stampeders, Edmonton Eskimos, ready for Monday's Labor Day Classic at McMahon Stadium. Going to be a huge battle between these two teams. We'll have lots more on it throughout the afternoon and as well tomorrow on the big show as Football Fridays. We're going to be live at the Shaw Charity Classic tomorrow at that tournament. Bruce Dobig is going to join Rob Kerr and myself on the program as well throughout the day. We'll take a break. When we come back on the other side, a very special guest, Ron Rook, going to join us in studio to talk about the memories of Labor Day. What makes this game so special? This year, it's even better than it ever has been. A 7-1 record between the Calgary Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos. A battle for first place in the West Division. Ron's going to talk about a lot of things that have happened in years past, including the debut of the black jerseys. How'd they get started? The whole story behind that one We'll have him on to talk more about that. Also coming up at 1:45, Rod Peterson going to join us to talk about the Weston Dressler situation, signing with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and how the Riders plan to be part of the Big Three in the West Division. That's all coming up after the break. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960, talking sports all the time. No radio, no problem. Download the Rogers Radio app and never be without Sportsnet 960 again. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Big Show. Very special guest joining us in studio right now. We have Ron Rook, who was one time the president of the Calgary Stampeders, but we'll let him kind of set up the story and tell you the listeners his entire time with the Calgary Stampeders. But for you, you started the organization in 1991, I believe.
I did. I was lucky enough to join the Stampeders the week that they went to the Grey Cup to play the Toronto Argonauts in 1991. And then owner Larry Rickman approached me. At the time, I was working for the Calgary Cannons, and I'd grown up being a Stampeder fan. My dad used to run the ushers there, and as a kid, mm-hmm. I used to be an usher. I ushered the early 75 Grey Cup. And Labor Day was always exciting, but it was always bittersweet, because usually about the third quarter, you realized first day of school the next day.
The next day. Yeah.
So it was fun. It was exciting. Then it was, school tomorrow.
Yeah, coming. Yeah, I mean, for me too, as a kid, I'm going to lots of Labor Day games with my dad. Remembering those are a lot of the things. It's kind of the end of summer. You get that feeling, this is great, this is awesome, but it is the end of summer. And we have you on to talk about the Labor Day games, because there's so many stories about the Labor Day Classic and what makes it so special for both Stampeder and Eskimo fans, plus the rematch game up at Edmonton. I guess we'll start in 1992, because there's an interesting story connected to this game. That's the year the Calgary Stampeders won the Grey Cup. They beat the Eskimos in the West Final that year, but they lost Labor Day. And some interesting things happened after that.
It is very interesting. And I mean, I think the Stampeders will win big on Monday. Mm-hmm. I think they're a better football team. So I believe in Huff, and I believe what the Stamps will do this Labor Day with the new signature jerseys. But 1992, and so fans don't get too excited if it goes the wrong way. 1992, we lost Labor Day to the Eskimos. But we met them in the West Final, and then we won the Grey Cup. 1998, we beat Edmonton Labor Day, and we beat them in the West Final. We won the Grey Cup. 2001, we lost the Labor Day Classic, but met the Eskimos in the West Final up in Edmonton and won the Grey Cup. So there was two Labor Day losses, but two Grey Cup victories, and I think that's what counts. But basically, one of my fondest memories of Labor Day is we had lost the West Final in 1993. We had won the Grey Cup in 92, we hosted the West Final in 1993, and we were hosting the Grey Cup. And Doug Flutie was our quarterback, and we were highly ranked to really romp over the Eskimos, but that morning, a blizzard hit, and everything froze up. The snow was unbelievable, the heaters froze, Doug Flutie's hands froze, and we lost the 93 West Final. The Eskimos came into Calgary and won the Grey Cup. So we thought, what can we do for next year's Labor Day? That was the next rematch mm-hmm. with the Eskimos. And we kind of started thinking, and as a kid, I used to get Sports Illustrated, and Sports Illustrated was my Bible as a kid. Wait for it every week to come in. And I remember reading an article. It was the University of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, and they were ranked in the top 10. Maybe they were ranked 10th, and they were playing USC Trojans, who were ranked number one. And the Irish had always worn green jerseys, but they did away with the green jerseys for about 35 years. And they warmed up in their royal blue, or whatever that other color jersey is, of the Fighting Irish. They went into the locker room and the green jerseys were hanging up. And they came out and they romped over USC, who was ranked number one. So at the time, there was really no third jerseys in any sports.
Yeah.
And growing up, I was a big Oakland Raider fan.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? Let's do a black jersey. And we talked to the jersey company. I believe it was Starter at that time, and it was all secret. Mm-hmm. We had a very flamboyant owner who liked to take risks. So yeah, we put together this black uniform. And on the arm patches, we did 2 6 guns crossing, because we were the West. We were the Wild West. And we had the white horse. And we put in a Latin phrase, quid rictamor, which states whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So we were going to win that Labor Day, and we were not going to lose for the Eskimos for a long time. So whatever it took. So we ordered these black jerseys. The league didn't know about it. CBC TV didn't know about it. The players didn't know about it. The players went out, and they warmed up in their red jerseys. We actually brought Doug Flutie in the morning. We said, Doug, what do you think? He said, oh, let's do it.
Yeah.
So George Hopkins, our equipment manager, was a little nervous because the offensive linemen, they get their jerseys on with their pads, and it's quite a struggle to get their shoulder pads off.
Yeah,
you only have so much time after warm-ups to the introduction of the players. So what happened? The team warmed up in their reds, and we hung up all the black jerseys in their locker room stalls, and they came in, and it was like kids on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
They couldn't get their red jerseys off fast enough. They put these black jerseys on. They came out for the introductions, and the crowd didn't know to cheer or what to do because they're like, where's our St. Peter's?
Yeah, what's going on?
And the Eskimos, the look on their face was, what? And the game was 48-15 for the St. Peter's, so it was a statement game.
Yeah.
I'm getting phone calls at the start of the game from the commissioner of the CFL. I'm getting phone calls from CBC. They took all the warm-up shots of the players in their red jerseys. They're going, this is going to screw up our production and everything like this, but it was just, it was something magical that day that just really happened. And we ended up, we went 9-0 in those black jerseys until we finally lost. And we only pulled them out on really special occasions. And every once in a while we did the warm up in the reds and come out in the black. And it just, football is such a mental game.
Yeah.
90% mental, and the other 10% you play from your head up. So figure that one out. But it just gave the players, they thought they were invincible.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. So that's probably my biggest Labor Day highlight. And it's interesting. You talk about anniversaries. So that was 1994. Now it's 2014.
Yeah.
And they're announcing their signature jersey. And from everything that I've heard and read, it looks like they're not, other teams have unveiled their signature jerseys, but the Stampeders aren't doing it until Labor Day. So I don't know if they're going to wear it. On warm-ups or if they're going to come out after. I know the Eskimos are telling everybody for the rematch to come early for warm-ups to see the new Eskimo jersey. They're not unveiling it till the warm-ups. It's so interesting how these athletes, it's, as I said, it's like Christmas morning when they get a new jersey.
And you talk about that 94. I mean, it's an amazing story, and you know, people on the text line responding to it already, but no one, no third jersey before. It was an unheard of thing. It was home and away, and that's every sport. Mm-hmm. No one really had the third jerseys yet. But you could never pull that off again in this day and age. I mean, the amount of fines or something would come from the CFL. Like you mentioned, they're not very happy because you went, not behind their back, but just never told them.
It was behind their back.
Well, behind their back, yeah. I guess technically behind their back. They had no idea you were doing it. CBC at the time had no idea. But something like that, that could never be pulled off again. I mean, the amount of backlash that would come from something like that these days, I mean, backlash did come then, but the backlash these days would be huge.
Well, the amazing thing, Josh, as well, is it never got leaked.
Yeah,
and now in today's social media, we didn't tell the players. There was the equipment manager. There was myself. There was Wally Bono, head coach, general manager, and owner Larry Rickman. And then the jersey company.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I mean, today, somehow, somewhere, there's no way you could pull it off. So it was absolutely amazing. And those players just, wow, it was something I will never forget.
And I want to go back to the 92 game for just a second, because you talk about losing that Labor Day game, winning the West Final, and winning the Grey Cup. And at that time, you were still, the communications and all that kind of stuff with the team. So you were heavily involved in the season ticket sales. Despite winning the Grey Cup, I guess, and I'll let you tell the story, but they win the Grey Cup, but losing Labor Day kind of cost the team in a little bit of a way.
It really did. It was amazing because it was the early 90s. The Flames had moved here in 1980, and the Stampeders went through some difficult times in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. The Flames went to the Stanley Cup in 86 and 89 and won, and it was like we were the poor red-handed stepsister.
Yeah.
No offense, Gingers. But anyway, it was... it was very interesting. We had about 13,000 season ticket holders. Every season ticket holder was so important to us, as they are to any pro sports franchise.
Yeah.
And we're going through renewals in December, and there was quite a few cancellations. I took it upon myself to phone the season ticket holders and ask them, like, why? What? We didn't raise our ticket prices. Like,
we won the Grey
what's
Cup.
Up?
Yeah,
we won the Grey Cup. And the majority, probably 98% of the people that canceled, you lost Labor Day.
Wow.
I said, what? I said, we won the Grey Cup for the first time in 22 years. We beat Edmonton in the West Final.
Yeah.
You lost Labor Day. I have relatives, friends that live in Edmonton. I'm tired of walking away Labor Day afternoon from McMahon Stadium with that losing feeling.
Yeah.
You lost Labor Day. And it was like, oh, this is a big deal.
And that just goes to speak how big, and they telling that story, I get goosebumps just thinking about, you know, how important it is to this city and to the fans in Calgary. I mean, it's such a traditional game that makes it so special, but it's incredible to think a loss on Labor Day, despite all the success you have, beating Edmonton, like you said, could cause people to not renew their season tickets. Fast forward to 1995, because that's a pretty special game that sticks out in a lot of people's mind. Again, you guys, pretty good team you have going into that season. And I'll let you tell the story, because that's when kind of a new star was born, not only for the Stampeders, but a guy that became one to be a huge superstar in football was born on that day, Labor Day in 95.
It was. We were in Birmingham, Alabama, the week before playing the Barracudas. And I think it was about the third quarter, Doug Flutie hurt his arm. And it was very difficult to get Doug out of any game. If it was 53-0, Doug wanted to finish the game. It didn't matter. Doug was such a competitor. He wanted to play. But his arm just wasn't working how it was supposed to. And Jeff Garcia came in. So basically, Garcia played the fourth quarter against Birmingham. And Matt Dunnigan led the Barracudas. And they beat us late in the fourth quarter. And I think we were 8-0 going into Birmingham. So we lost the game. We come into Labor Day. And we kind of kept it hush-hush. And it wasn't... I don't think it was Tommy John surgery, because Doug did come back and play in the playoffs in 95 and the Grey Cup. But he was going to be shelved. He was going to Los Angeles for surgery, but he wanted to start Labor Day, because at that time, he didn't know if that was going to be his last football game ever. So John Huffnagel was the offensive coordinator. Doug goes in for the first play, and he was very scared. Because he thought Doug would audible. It was to be a running play. They thought Doug would run some play, but actually he did not. He just ran the running play, and the play ended, and Jeff Garcia came in at that time, and they kind of high-fived each other at midfield, and Jeff went on and threw 5 touchdown passes, and then all of a sudden there was a quarterback controversy with Jeff Garcia and Doug Flutie, and Doug ended up starting the Grey Cup, and we lost that Grey Cup to Baltimore in 1995 in Regina. And, you know, the question was, well, what if Jeff had started? But it was just one of those magical Labor Day moments that we had no idea if Doug was ever going to play football again. And all of a sudden, Jeff Garcia came on, and
And he was kind of an unknown, at least to the CFL crowd and those people, that he was just the backup quarterback in Calgary at that time.
Absolutely. But it speaks volumes of what the organization has done over the years with becoming a quarterback factory. I was talking to a few guys a couple of days ago. We chuckle about the 98 Grey Cup when Jeff Garcia was the starter, Dave Dickinson was the backup, and Henry Burris was the third quarterback. I mean, you talk about a quarterback factory. Unbelievable. But you talk about Labor Day. We actually ran a marketing campaign. We ran full page ads in both newspapers back when newspapers were relevant.
Yeah, the big thing. Yeah.
And it was Labor Day tickets, $99, and 9 other games free, because we had a $99 season ticket. But Labor Day, people wanted to go to. So we said, you know what? We'll charge $99 for Labor Day, and we'll give you all the other games for free. And it was a pretty successful campaign. It got a lot of people talking. And it's just something about Labor Day. It's one of those great things in sports. And this year, both teams 7-1.
It's going to be incredible.
Incredible. That is amazing to think how these teams have been so dominant over the decades, and they've never come in together 7-1. That is unbelievable.
It's going to be a phenomenal game. And I guess for you, well, I think something I've always wondered what adds to it is, I mean, there's two teams in Labor Day games, so you got to give Edmonton credit, because they add to that game, whether it's a lot of their fans that came down. They used to send busloads. I'm sure this year we'll see the return of that, where they send busloads of fans down because it's such a big game, but they have their cheerleaders down. How does that all come about? I mean, do the Eskimos contact you, or is that somewhere the Stampeders would call them and say, hey, you know, it's a big game. Do you mind sending your cheerleaders down? Just add to the atmosphere. How does that kind of go about?
Well, the whole cheerleader thing adds to the atmosphere. I kind of, I was VP of marketing and communications.
Yeah.
Our job was to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. Our job was to create revenue. And so I got a phone call from Hugh Campbell in 1992. And he says, yeah, Ron, we're waiting for you to send us our 1,500 free tickets for Labor Day. I said, excuse me? He goes, yeah, we do an exchange. We give you guys 1,500 free tickets. And you sell to your season ticket holders and you guys come up to the rematch. So, well, first the rematch is Friday.
Yeah.
And it's the first week of school.
Yeah.
I don't know how many fans are going to travel up. And so we don't charge you for these. He goes, oh, no, no. But we sell them to our season ticket holders and we bring a bus down. It's a section and they're all in. I said, you know what, Mr. Campbell, we're not going to do it this year. And so we were a little worried. We didn't know if we were going to sell out. But we actually said that was the first sellout of 38,225 of that venue for McMahon at that time. It's a smaller stadium now because of expanded press boxes and on the east side, the player, the suites and everything. And so that, to be honest with you, it took a little bit of the Edmonton fans out of it. Mm-hmm. Now they're scattered all over the place. But I used to look at it like, why are they all in that one section? They get free tickets? Pardon me, free tickets on Labor Day?
Giving away that revenue. This year, the game's moved to a Saturday, the rematch. Is that something you probably would have liked to seen happen a long time ago? It gives not only the players an extra day, but now it's a weekend. So that option is open for people from Calgary to go up for the rematch. Because, they're working on that Friday. They can't make it up there, but now it's a Saturday.
It's interesting because I sat in CFL Board of Governors meetings, and that was always discussed. And from a player standpoint, Wally Buono always wanted the extension. We always suggested the Sunday. So it would give our fans opportunity to drive up, come back Sunday night, and it was better for the players. It's such a quick turnaround. Football players aren't made to play every other day as hockey players do. And the Eskimos, not to paint a bad brush on the Eskimos, but they continually said no because they traditionally did a back-to-school promotion.
Oh, okay.
And Commonwealth Stadium is 50, 60,000 seats.
Yeah.
So every grade 1 to grade 9 student in Edmonton used to get a free coupon to redeem for a ticket a Friday night back to school promotion. So they were afraid to change it to the weekend. And so that, you talk about the battle on the field, but there's lots of battles in the office between marketing departments, between general managers, between presidents. So it is quite the heated rivalry.
Yeah.
And plus, now you have Mr. Jones coaching up in Edmonton and Huff and not shaking hands. So it's leading up to one of the best Labor Days ever.
Yeah, I was going to ask, going into this one, have you ever had one that this much hype? I mean, I know there's hype every year for this game. It always will because it's Labor Day, but it's so much added. You talk about the Chris Jones, John Huffnagel, both teams 7-1. The game up there, Calgary went up and beat Edmonton already this year. They weren't happy with their performance. Have you ever had one that's had this much hype leading into it?
I don't think so, Josh. And let's be honest. It's been a long time since the Eskimo Stampeders have really been the heated rivalry.
Yeah.
Either one team has struggled or the other team has struggled, and it's become more of a Saskatchewan Calgary rivalry.
Yeah.
But I think truly the Battle of Alberta is back, and with them both being 7-1, and the hype is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And come Monday morning, there's going to be a different energy in the city as we feel during Stampede Week. Exactly. There's an energy. You'll wake up and you go outside, take a deep breath. There'll be a different energy on Monday, and it's because it's Labor Day Classic.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. You know what, Ron, we appreciate this. We could probably go on for hours of just stories in this game, but we really appreciate you coming down and spending some time with us. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Josh. My pleasure.
There you go. That is Ron Rook, part of the Calgary Stampede organization for a long time, joining us today to talk all about the Labor Day Classic. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Rod Peterson of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders play-by-play voice to talk about Weston Dressler, among other things. This is The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Part of Canada's most extensive sports network. TV, online, magazine, and radio. Proud to serve Calgary and Southern Alberta. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Big Show. Josh Humphries with you live downtown Calgary in our brand new studios. on your Thursday afternoon. We're getting closer and closer to what should be an epic Labor Day matchup here in the city between the Calgary Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos. But another big Labor Day tradition that goes on in the CFL is the battle between the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And that game going to go, of course, on Sunday at Mosaic Stadium in Saskatchewan, the rematch in Winnipeg the following week. And some big news for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders is, I don't know how big of a surprise it was or not, but Weston Dressler does re-up with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders after coming back from the NFL. We're very pleased to be joined now by Rod Peterson, the play-by-play voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline. And Rod, first of all, thanks for doing this. So I guess the first thing is, was there any question at all that Dressler was going to come to the Riders, or was it pretty much a guarantee?
It doesn't sound like there was any question to it. Good afternoon, by the way. He has just started speaking here at the conclusion of the team's closed workout. Right now, he's meeting with the media. So I'm kind of missing out on what, you know, when he's answering those questions. But from what I understand, he agreed to terms Tuesday evening, or at least team staff knew that he was going to be a Rough Rider Tuesday night, which was a few hours after he cleared NFL waivers. So I think he might have briefly looked at what the Ottawa Red Blacks were offering, which from what I understand was fairly significant more money in CFL terms. Apparently the Calgary Stampeders threw their name into the ring. I don't think that was seriously considered by Weston. And I did hear a couple of comments here from him, and when he was asked, why did you come back here? He said, how much time do you have? He said, there's too many reasons to list why he wanted to come back to Saskatchewan. But one of the most was to win another Grey Cup. So it's pretty clear he's happy to be back. Said he couldn't be more excited to be back here.
Obviously, it does a lot for the Riders on the field. I mean, they're probably one of the powerhouse teams in the West. They're right up there with Calgary and Edmonton in my books as the top three teams in that West division. But what does it do for the Riders? It gives them just another dynamic weapon to use on the field.
Well, you know, they've won five in a row. They're 6-2, and that's all without him.
Yeah.
So kind of what we're thinking is hopefully this puts them over the top. Riders haven't played Edmonton yet. They haven't played Calgary yet. So clearly they're the Titans. They're, you know, almost the unbeatens. But they've been finding a way to win their last several games, whether it be special teams plays, defensive plays, or just knowing how to win, because they're the defending Grey Cup champions. But I'm just thinking, and, you know, Durant spoke just before Weston Dressler here and was asked about what this will mean to the passing game, and Darian obviously thinks it'll mean a lot, yet he figures there's going to be an adjustment whether he gets it figured out by Sunday or not, just coming back from the American game, running tighter routes on a smaller field. The timing is going to be a little different, but, you know, he's worked with Darian Durant for 6 years up until this summer. So I think that's something they'll get over pretty quickly. But if you've watched the games, their offense and their passing game is what struggled. They're eighth in the league passing, and Darian Durant's numbers aren't very good. They've had a lot of new faces in that core. They're pretty happy to have a familiar one back here today.
Does it sound like he's going to get right in the lineup this week against the Bombers for the Labor Day game on Sunday, or does it look like it's going to be a little bit of time for him to get back in there?
I think, well, today's practice was closed, so I couldn't tell you, and nobody can, you know, what packages they have for Weston if he's involved at all. But I got to think, and, you know, I've heard a million things in terms of rumors back and forth about, you know, if he'd sign and then when he'd sign. I guess one of them turned out to be true, and that is he wanted to sign as early as Wednesday and play Sunday. And I'm sure, I think he put pen to paper maybe even last night. So that one turned out to be true. And, I mean, today's day two of the workout or work week. He was here for it. Yeah. I got to think that he'll be playing Sunday against the Bombers in the Labor Day Classic. And you mentioned you guys have your classic one with Edmonton. Ours is pretty good, too. This is the 48th. And, you know, if we had more time, we could, like, every year they meet, there seems to be some unreal story, whether it was, you know, Greg Marshall being fired and Ken Miller coming back to coach his first game, or, you know, and they've gone both ways. But Kerry Joseph, the game-winning touchdown on the last play in 2007, rushing for 27 yards. Well, here's a Labor Day story. Yeah, I think Weston Dressler is going to be playing on Sunday.
Rod Peterson joining us down the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline, play-by-play voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Looking at this game, I guess, coming in, what kind of threats do the Bombers pose? I mean, the Riders are red hot, five straight wins. The Bombers may have been cooling off the last couple of weeks, but what do you expect from this one?
Well, it's going to be close. It's the only game as of yesterday that the odds makers hadn't set the line for out of every game. So that tells me that even they think it's going to be really close. You got to remember that the Riders played in Winnipeg now 3 weeks ago and won 23-17. They intercepted Drew Willie three times in the game, and that's what killed the Bombers. Riders also scored 14 points that night at Investors Group Field. They said going into that game, they thought they had the edge over Drew Willie because they played with him the last 2 years. I don't see how that's going to change. Apparently, he got hurt today, Drew, in practice with the Blue Bombers, knocked his throwing hand off a helmet. But, he's still expected to play on Sunday. But I think the Riders will win this one. And then, quite frankly, going back to Winnipeg, I'd be stunned in the Banjo Bowl to see the Riders pull that one off, because you'd be talking about a three-game sweep of a pretty good team within your division. I could see this being a split with the home team winning each time.
I guess we're talking about how big it is this year in Calgary with the 7-1 records. Do you feel like this is the biggest one in a while you've had for both Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, because they're both above 500 teams, at least for the time being? The Bombers look like they could compete in the West at the very least.
Yeah, well, I actually had Troy Westwood on. The Bomber great kicker is really big on numbers, more so than I am, and he pointed out that, yeah, this is the 48th Labor Day Classic, but it's only the ninth time that each team is above 500. Out of the 48, that's a remarkable stat. So most years we always say you can throw the records out the window, and most years you want. Not this year. They're both really good football teams. So that, actually, I would say over the years, this is the biggest Labor Day Classic, certainly in my time, 16 seasons calling the games. That's pretty exciting when you think about it.
Just one more question for you. Darian Durant's health, of course, injured his hand. We saw Tino Sinceri come in and do a fabulous job against BC on Sunday night in last week's game. But Darian Durant, what's the word on him? Does it look like he's going to be able to go?
Yeah, he spoke yesterday after day one. He admitted that it was sore. He participated lightly in practice, but what took him out of the game in BC was he couldn't grip the ball.
Yeah.
Yesterday on day one, he ran just very lightly the first team offense in mental reps, but he was holding the ball and he was holding it fine. He was kind of pump faking, which told me that it's come a long ways in 3 days. And then today, as I mentioned, it was closed, so I don't really know where it's at. Basically, he said it's coming along, but you got to understand, I've seen this guy play with a broken foot, cracked ribs, bruised lung. A simple little knock on his hand isn't going to keep him out of the biggest Labor Day Classic game ever. So if anybody's into CFL fantasy football, I think you can activate Darian Durant this week.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rod. We really appreciate taking some time. We'll let you try to catch the tail end of the Weston Dressler scrum. Thanks a lot for this.
No problem. Anything for you guys.
Thanks a lot. There you go. Rod Peterson, the play-by-play voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. As Weston Dressler chooses the Riders, he sticks with them for the upcoming future after being cut from the NFL and the Kansas City Chiefs earlier this week. Getting a lot of texts, of course, on our text line throughout the days in the last few weeks of regarding the play-by-play team and voices for both the TV and radio side. I'll tell you what, we do have a special announcement coming up today at 3 o'clock Mountain Time regarding the radio play-by-play voices here for the Calgary Flames the upcoming season. However, Sportsnet today has released its lineup, I guess, for the television side of things. Well, big congratulations to Rick Ball, who will be the new play-by-play announcer for the Flames. Of course, he worked with CBC for the past few years, so I know we've been getting asked on the text line about it. Kelly Rudy will be joining him as the game analyst taking over. So Rick Ball and Kelly Rudy will be joining. Head over to sportsnet.ca. It has the entire list of all the people that will be joining Sportsnet's television hockey coverage and Rogers hockey coverage for the upcoming year. Of course, Rogers signing the huge deal to have the exclusive national rights two hockey games for the 2014, for the next long while, actually, for the hockey rights. So Rick Ball will be doing the play-by-play for the Calgary Flames. Kelly Rudy will be joining him as the analyst. The full list of people is on Sportsnet. Mike Johnson, Derek Payne, is going to join us as well. Craig Simpson, Cassie Campbell-Pascal, a lot of people. Drew Remenda is going to join the Edmonton Oilers broadcasting. PJ Stock, Gary Galley, Glenn Healy, all going to come over as well. So the full list is on sportsnet.ca if you want to check it out. And again, as far as the radio side is concerned, here at Sportsnet 960 The Fan, coming up at 3 o'clock today, we'll have the announcement of who is taking over and picking over, filling the big shoes for the Calgary Flames. As we will take a final break here at hour number one, huge thanks to Ron Rook. Just wanted to talk about that. How about the story about the 1994 jerseys? If you missed that, we're going to replay that interview for you a little bit later in the program, including talking about how the 1994 black jerseys debuted. We'll also talk a little bit about the Labor Day game as well. Ron Rook, very pleased to have him on the day as well. So we'll have that going on for you. Also coming up a little bit today, Sven Berchi going to join the program coming up around 5 o'clock. He's got a big, big camp coming up with the Calgary Flames. It's a make-or-break year for him. We'll have him join the program coming up at 5 today with Rob Kerr. We'll take a break when we come back on the other side of the 2 o'clock hour. Rob Kerr will join the program. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960, The FAN.